Listen to this.
Zakawani, the flying winger.
It's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
It's not again.
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakawani. Evans with the left foot. He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of Side by Side. We were off last week. Lots was happening. But the Sounders won. They went down to Charlotte and had, you know, from a neutral perspective, a thriller. A game 3-3, lots of goals, lots of action. From the Sounders perspective, when you take the lead three times, especially away from home, you've got to find a way to pick up the 3 points. They were not able to do so. So we'll get into that just a little bit. The positives, of course, being the return of Christian to the score sheet. And, of course, Raul Ruiz Diaz with 2 goals as well. And then the Sounders off this weekend, but do return to Major League Soccer action next week at LAFC, who have been having their own stumbles and wobbles lately. Lots happening in Major League Soccer. The biggest news in world football centering around Major League Soccer, not arguably the greatest player of all time. For me, it's not arguably at this point. It just is. Has decided to come and join into Miami. And we'll be playing there at some point. You think in the next couple of months, he's going to join up with the team. So we'll talk about what that means for the league and for Inter Miami. It's a big one. But first and foremost, Sounders, 3-3 away to Charlotte. Normally, you say a point on the road is good. But as I said, going up three times, you've got to feel a little bit disappointed, no?
Yeah. One where you watch, and the Sounders did enough to win, right? That was the biggest thing here. And that's also encouraging, though, for fans. Back on the score sheet, Raul gets 2. Christian scores a fantastic goal set up from a set piece. And it's just that late run that's so characteristic that no one else can provide. I think there are some players, actually, that can provide that, but they don't have the touch and class to get that ball down and finish.
Yeah.
And so the Sounders off to a flying start, and, you know, credit to Charlotte. They did everything that they could. You know, Charlotte was non-existent until the Sounders scored. And then they came back with a vengeance, and they were good at home. They created some chances, and they have a decent little squad. But I think, like you said, the Sounders, if you would have told them we're going to travel across the country and get a 3-3 result, it's going to be a exciting game, I think they would have taken it. But it's one where you go into the locker room where you kind of scratch your head wondering, we certainly did enough. And then just a little mental lapse to let it slip away.
Which is weird because, it's offensively where there's been a few question marks lately. And I think defensively, especially at the start of the season, the team was rock solid.
Yeah.
And sort of was reversed a little bit here where, was this a case of just, a couple of defensive lapses, errors in judgment, individual mistakes, rather than a bigger systemic breakdown? Like, I think it probably was more to do with just individuals not making plays when they should.
Well, look, I mean, that first goal that Charlotte scores is something of brilliance.
Yeah.
I don't think that's anyone's fault other than not tracking Jalen Lindsay at the back post. You kind of fall asleep thinking that ball's out of bounds. You're waiting for the ref to make a call. So it's just individual mistakes. I don't think it's anything to do with the shape of the Sounders. I don't think it's anything to do with anything that is going to be catastrophic that can't be fixed easily. And so I'm not concerned. But this, the guys get some rest now, and it's going to be a tough text next week because it's an LAFC team that's lost a couple on the trot, kind of facing what the Sounders did last year, right? The curse of making the Champions League final. And now you got Wednesday, Saturday. And they've given up 2 results in a row to Houston, a thrashing in Houston. And then last night I watched the game and, Houston put it on them.
Yeah, 2 games in a row. And it wasn't close. Houston been better in both games. And yeah, but I still think LAFC, we'll get to that, but it's the Sounders. I mean, this is kind of a rivalry. I think these two teams have built a healthy, competitive, on-the-pitch rivalry. They'll be up for that one. They need to get back on track in a bad way, especially the games in hand they did have on the Sounders. Those are dwindling now. And, if you don't take advantage of them, they won't be in the position we thought they would be. To put a ball on the Charlotte game, Raul, first goal, a goal we don't typically see him outside the box, but he can do it. And it was ridiculous. I mean, the turn, the second touch, the finish, unbelievable. Then the second goal was more of a Raul ball. Great ball by João Paulo. But that's what Raul does. He's going to be in the box. And it was so weird seeing him in a couple home games ago when he missed, for him, like two sitters. Like, and he didn't hit the target. And you can see that was weighing on him. And he comes back with a vengeance. I mean, what can be said about this guy that hasn't been said? But how important is it that he stays fit? This is a different team with him. Like, I know Jordan can score. I know Ebe can score. No one does it like Raul.
Well, look, I think as an opposing team, when you walk into the locker room, the coach writes the names up on the board who you're going to face. And if you don't see his name, you get a jolt of energy and you're excited. And when you do see his name up there, you're thinking, oh, shit, it's going to be one of those days. Because he is going to get two or three high-quality chances every game, no matter what. It's a matter of what he does with them. And like you said, a couple weeks ago, he wasn't back to his normal self. He wasn't fit. He wasn't didn't have that. The strikers always have that, just that finish product, and he just didn't have it. All he needed was two extra weeks of practice to fine tune it, and he scores a banger. And what's funny is sometimes I think as coaches, as a coach of strikers, we try to do all this combination play up top with finishing at the end of training, and at the end of the day, it's receiving a ball at the top of the box, taking a touch in the right position, and swinging the ball far post. It's the basics of soccer. And I'm glad Raul scored a goal like that, because I think that's the one that just get you, okay, I take a touch, I receive, I turn, put myself in a good position, and then I just bend it far post. Nothing insane, nothing incredible. That's just a striker's finish and something that at training you've worked on since you were 12 years old. And we've often seen times where we see, oh, how does Clinton Oba do it? How do they combine like that? Look, that's something that you can't teach in training or anything. They didn't do that stuff in training. It just came natural in games. Yeah. The stuff you do in training is how Raul scored it, you know, on the weekend, is take a touch, put it out in front of you, and keep your head down and swing it far post. And it's a unbelievable goal. But at the end of the day, it's nothing that he didn't create anything incredible. It's a turn and shoot, and credit to him. And when he's playing, this team is just—it's just so different. But but you know what else I liked is Rusnak.
I was gonna ask.
How's he in advanced position? I mean, it's time. It's time. We have to see what he. I mean, if he has a good game in LA, we'll see what the Sounders decide to do. If Nico's gonna go back in there, but I think you give this guy a couple games and get him on a run. If Jordan's gonna be absent, if Christian's gonna be absent, I would rather see him move into that 10 and put Nico out on the right wing or have him play on the left, because he'll do the work defensively to help Nuhu. I think that's what you're going to have to see as these guys leave for the Gold Cup approaching us pretty soon.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that came out of there was, you know, Albert. I mean, there is a way to play him and Nico, but at this point, who is that 10? I think Albert, you're right. Probably want to see a couple more times. And then because... with João Paulo, could you play Nico at the six with João Paulo?
I think you're just wasting the guys we already have on the bench that can play that position. I'd rather have him in an advanced position or bring him on as a sub in an advanced position. I don't need him as a six. We already have a Atencio. We've got Obed. We've got other guys that can sit as a six. Those two guys, Obed and Atencio, are useless then for us. Yeah. Because they're not going to play in advanced positions. So tactically, I don't think it makes sense for us.
LAFC up next. We're nowhere near must-win territory. Aside from the 3 points, is there anything else? Is this a game? Is there anything else riding on this game? I don't know if there's bragging rights between these two teams. I don't know if it's a measuring stick to see where you're at. I think when LAFC came here early in the season, it was a good test to see. Was that the season? It was the season. We did play
0-0, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't a great game. Yeah, I remember that. But that game was more so, okay, where are we at? This is going to be one of the best teams in the West. They're always going to be around. And they've stumbled lately. I mean, they lost the Champions League final, lost to Houston twice on the bounce. They haven't closed the gap with the Sounders. They do have 3 games in hand. That's the key. And they're only 2 points behind. And they have 3 games in hand. And they've got a game in hand of St. Louis as well. Anything other than 3 points you can read into this game, or is it one of those games where you go and get a 3 points and there's still so much of the season that not too much really can be defined or decided from this game? But it is a team, I still think, on their day, they can put 3 or 4 past anyone if they show up.
Well, look, you're going to be losing guys for Gold Cup responsibilities, national team, things like that coming up. So this is an opportunity for guys to get 3 points, even if it's away from home. I think they'd be happy with a tie to go down there and get a tie, but you're also, you know, 10 days rest. So you should be flying by the time you get in there. And is it a must win? No. But Dallas on 26, San Jose on 26, Houston 24. I mean, if they get a couple results, the Sounders then find themselves from second all the way to seventh, right?
Yeah.
So it's still, you're still gunning for the league. Like you have to, you can't put your foot off the gas pedal right now. It's not a time to say, oh, we can let this one slip. No, our team is getting healthier and healthier. So we got to make a push now for points. We got to get points.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Sounders will be going to LA next Wednesday midweek. Keely, do you have broadcast info?
I do.
That not
yes,
yet.
We're on Apple TV, MLS season pass. Again, reach out to any of us. If you've had any issues logging on or any issues subscribing, etc., we are here to help because it's been a pretty cool product. They're doing a really good job for their first season. So again, reach out to us if you have any issues with Apple TV. And then we are 93.3 FM on the radio for English and 1360 El Rey Spanish.
Hey, real quick, LAFC has to go to Sporting Kansas City this weekend to play. Then they play us on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
I just it's a tough one.
Yeah,
for this team going right now. And then they play on the 24th at home against Vancouver. I mean, it is game after game after game for them right now. You have to show no mercy in this one as we go down. Because that's what happened to the Sounders last year. And if we've learned anything, you got to slay the dragon while it's, you know, head is down. So it's time.
Honestly, like for me, that LAFC playoff game where we went down there in 2019 – the best non-cup game that I've seen since I started working for the Sounders. It was just so satisfying. So just going to LA, just beating an LA team is always just like the best.
Yeah, and those games always are really, really good. So that'll be an exciting one. Speaking of the Apple subscriptions and things like that, I feel like every single thing to do with MLS is going to get a boost because of the news that was announced a few days ago. We will get into the Lionel Messi stuff, but we haven't had Brad on a podcast since the 7v7 tournament. But let's hear it. We caught glimpses on social media. I mean, it looked really, really cool. You know, I talked to a couple people that were down there. And what's funny? So I don't check my, what is it, DM or something on Twitter. I don't check. I had an invite from Darius Barnes, who played at New England Revolution years ago. And he's now on the front office of Charlotte. Yeah, and he was... It's an invite, and I saw it after. I said, bro, I'm sorry. I said, I don't think I would have made it, but it was an invite. Like, a couple months ago, do you want to come out and play on our team? So, yeah, I didn't see it until way after, but it looked like a cool experience.
I mean, it was the most fun I've ever had playing soccer.
Yeah.
The only thing I can compare it to is, you know, your youth days of playing where you go to a tournament, you're there all day, you got... you know, a little recovery, you're hanging out with your best friends, just you see your other friends in the parking lot and on other teams, you've got food, you've got everything, right? And results didn't really matter at the end of the day. Everyone was legit there just to have fun on our squad. And we had a party bus with a stripper pole. That's how we came to and from every game. We went out every night until 3 o'clock for five nights in a row, at least, and just came back to the hotel and did nothing but tell stories, right? Like I grew up in Arizona with Alan Gordon. He played at Yavapai Community College, so he was 5 years older. So I would go up to those camps. He would be teaching strikers camp. Then I went on my visit to Oregon State, and I went to his house, and we were all hanging out. And then I never got a chance to play with him. You know, and so this is my first time 15 years later being on the same squad. So it was like just those vibes of everyone being together. And I'm telling you, it was by far the most fun. We created a team where you wanted to play with every single person.
Mm.
Right. And when that happens, like special things can work out. And so everyone was there on the same page, just having a blast. I mean, Drew, do you know who Drew Connor is? He played for Chicago Fire for a minute, but he just posted a post today and it said, I never thought the greatest soccer experience of my life would come after my pro career.
Yeah.
And everyone has echoed that sentiment that got some time on the pitch.
And how did you guys balance against them? You're athletes, right? There's still that thing of wanting to win and compete between that where, yeah, we kind of want to win and show well, but we're just going to have a good time and just, you know, have a blast, have a few beers. How do you balance or manage that part?
Yeah, I think Mike McGee spearheaded that. Look, he's a competitor at the end of the day, but he's also like, we had a text chain with everyone months in advance. Mm. And it said, hey, we're going to win this thing, but we're going to have the most fun doing it. So setting those intentions early was important for the group. And then we all got together. And of course, Steve Lenhart led a little powwow where everyone was telling everyone about what they were feeling, why they were here. And from that point on, everything just kind of clicked with the whole group.
Amazing.
Yeah, you show up for the first. And what's crazy is every game goes into overtime. You have to have a golden goal winner of a target score. So one above the end. The final whistle. So it's 5-0. The target score is 6. So like AJ De La Garza's team,
yeah,
they were down 3-0 and then went into overtime and ended up winning 4-3. And you've watched people win the World Cup and celebrate. You have never seen teams celebrate like this. Like they legit every game, like they won the World Cup. And it's cool because I know that people listening have probably gone to a professional tennis tournament. So that's what it was like. There were 6 fields, 2 on the main stage, and then 4 other fields where teams were playing. So the announcer would be like, target score 6 on field 4. So everyone kind of like migrates and moves and watches. And the fans are like right there on the sideline. And it was just, everyone echoed the same thing. It was just too much fun.
Yeah. It looked amazing. I think it's going to be an annual thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to sponsor the team, let's go.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, no, amazing. So that was big news a couple of weeks ago. And then the biggest news probably in the history of Major League Soccer. I think, you know, I was in the UK, or probably, no, just was in Akron, just had got to Akron when David Beckham was announced. And that was huge because he was a big name just in general, especially in England. I've not seen anything like Messi ever in my life as a football player, number one. And also for some, I don't know if I even know what he sounds. I don't hardly heard him speak. He doesn't really do much. He just plays football. But his star power, I mean, it dwarfs. I saw a thing the other day that said, you know, you can take, I think, LeBron and Steph and Tom Brady and Kevin Durant and Patrick Mahomes and all these US athletes, the top 10, put them together and Messi still has more Instagram followers, something like that. Like his... Yeah. It's I don't know if people understand how big him and Cristiano, like, it's a next level. It's a very, very big level. And the last experience I had with him was in Qatar at the World Cup, watching him. And listen, he played in moments, but I was at that game when he completely destroyed the Croatia defender and had the assist. I was in the World Cup final when him and Mbappe were going back and forth. And Messi's a guy who I remember seeing his first ever goal for Barcelona in 2004, 2005, assist by Ronaldinho. So we've watched his career, had a chance to be on a pitch with him a couple of times. He is that guy. So the move is huge. I'm going to ask in a couple of ways. We know off the pitch what it's going to do. Jerseys, tickets. I mean, we've already seen the stories going around. But beyond that, I want to see Beckham spearheaded changes in MLS. The hotels got better. The travel got better. You know, the rules around how you build a roster got better. Then I think the next big change was the 2015, I think, CBA, where certain things were moved forward again. And now it's 8 years on. You would think with Messi coming, can it be a chance to really enhance rules? And if yes, what rules you have? Because I love that Messi's here, but that Inter Miami squad plus Messi still ain't making the playoffs.
No.
MLS does not work like that. As good as Messi is, he would need players around him, especially at age 36 at this point. He's not going to run past 3 or 4 guys every time he gets the ball. He'll need players. So that's one. But just in general, the excitement from both of you of the greatest player in the world coming to this side of the Atlantic, one, just the general excitement. But two, how can the league then capitalize to not waste this moment where Messi said, I'm going to come and play in your league? Like, what needs to change?
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is it's crazy because I remember 2005 playing in under 20 World Cup, and he played a game and a half less. He only played 45 minutes in the first 3 group games, but Argentina ended up winning and he was the leading goal scorer. He was a golden boot of that tournament. And then we get to play him in 2009.
Yeah, scored 2 goals.
And this guy is still
scoring
last night, 90 seconds into the game against Australia. He's got 10 goals in his last 7 games for Argentina. Like, the dude is just a absolute machine.
Yeah.
And yeah, Beckham came in at 32. The Galaxy were terrible. He transcended what the league is now. And that was a year that I came into the league, so I had no barometer for what it was like beforehand. But things changed when he came in. More eyeballs were on the league, but that team was terrible.
Yeah.
And Beckham had to fight too. And I think Messi's going to have to fight and battle if he really wants to be successful. And when the Galaxy got it right, Beckham was 34, 35 at the time. And he was still an MLS All-Star. He was still getting 10, 12 assists every year. And the Galaxy team was winning supporter shields. And they were winning MLS Cups. 2014, they won MLS Cup. And, you know, that was that dynasty years of Beckham coming in of, I think, 2010, 11 they won also or something crazy. And so he started that, you know, dynasty for the Galaxy for winning, I think, three more championships to send them on. So the ability is still there for Beckham at 35. And this guy's coming in, coming off winning a World Cup at 35, and people are saying, oh, it's a retirement league.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't understand that this is a man.
Yeah, he's the best.
And it makes me feel proud of what, you know, you and I went through.
Yeah.
And if you could have ever said, oh, these guys would play in this league one day, I think we probably would have stood there and laughed at each other.
Yeah.
But to see where it is now is, it's insane. And having someone come like that and hopefully have a good experience is going to change the trajectory of Major League Soccer. And in, you know, three to 5 years, instead of 7 teams on the top 20 most valuable, they're probably going to see like 10 to 15 teams, more than any league in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's why he's coming here. And that's always been the difference between Messi and Ronaldo for me, is Ronaldo could have come here and been an absolute athlete and been a baller. But have you heard from him since he went to Saudi Arabia?
Right. No. Yeah. It's a great point.
To me, it's actually sad more than anything.
Yeah.
Benzema could do the same thing, but decided to go there. And I get it. Look, if your plan is to change the world by making, you know, $500 million, then do it. Okay. That's your reason for doing it. But I hope that there's a why the, you know, guys are going there, not just to sit on yachts. But I think that Messi's decision to come here is one that is going to light up a whole generation of soccer players, because social media wasn't around in 2007.
Yeah.
So you didn't have youngsters on TikTok and Instagram and, you know, how were they being fed Major League Soccer back then? Well, it was Fox Sports World or some channel like that you had to pay for. There was no games on YouTube or Apple, right? And now Messi's coming to a league, the biggest sports star in the world, where every single person will see Major League Soccer in the world. And you're talking like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. They might not tune into every game, but they're going to watch. And that is the biggest difference for me, and why I just applaud his decision and his move. But he'll spearhead a whole generation, especially if they get a good coach in Miami and they start playing well. It's going to be really cool.
What can we realistically expect, right? Because we're talking about, for me, he is the best of all time. Is he the best right now? He doesn't have to be. He's 36 years old. He's won every single thing in a game, every single thing, like individually, collectively, scored 800, 900 goals. There's nothing. He can come to MLS and score 0 goals, 0 assists. His legacy is intact. It doesn't change. But we left him to be successful. I will say this. I don't think this is a league anymore where, you know, back when, like, very early on, like Chicago Fire just having Blanco made them that much better. Just that you had one star player. You mentioned a couple weeks ago how when Schelotto came and he just knew his role there, it made your team that much better. I think the league has even moved from when a Nico Ladero came in 2016. I think it's moved even from there. He cannot do it alone, I don't think. I don't think the Miami team is that built for him right now. He's probably never been on a team that's going to have as little possession as this. Though he's always been on a dominant team. Those sorts of things. How would he deal with that the first time he goes to play in Atlanta? I don't know, somewhere, and he has to chase and he's not getting the ball. And, you know, he's a guy who likes to walk around and get the ball to his feet now and then make things happen. Maybe the first time he plays a ball where someone should be, but they haven't made the run because he's thinking 10 steps ahead. How's he? I wonder how he'll deal with those frustrations. Someone needs to be briefing him. But on the pitch, is he set up for success based on the team he went to Miami? Or they've got to do some serious investing into it. They have to recruit.
Well, they're going to have to invest, of course, and they're going to ask him what he wants.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's going to be frustrating at times, but I liken it to Guillermo coming to Columbus, because we had a bunch of American guys that were just athletes that happened to be good at soccer. And then this guy came in and he did not have to defend. That was not his job. We were set up to get him the ball, and Eddie and Robbie sprinted as fast as they could in behind. And that was their job. And he would find those passes. I think you're just going to see a different level of a midfielder that can pick out passes that no one else is going to see. And sometimes it doesn't have to be the greatest players that are built around him if you can pick out those passes. Sometimes they just have to be willing to make that run, because he's not the guy that, like, Nico right now is doing it once or twice a game. I think Messi can find those passes 10 to 15 times a game. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it matters as much as having an entire amazing 10 players that are around him. Miami has to be really solid defensively and have a couple more key players that can combine. I think that's their ticket to success. But that's what Guige did when he came to Columbus is, the expectations. You're not at Boca Juniors anymore, where everyone is the same player, like for like, a dynasty where you just plug in one and the next guy's amazing. It's going to be a challenge. And he'll realize that, because he's not stupid. He's going to reach out to guys and ask them, how difficult is the league? And they've all said it's a difficult league, and you're going to get crushed. You are going to get crushed.
And I think people will be surprised, like, from someone like Messi, like, those South American qualifying games, going to Bolivia, going to Ecuador, people said, oh, it's physical. This guy has been in the wars, like, his whole career. Like, he's been a target going to play Colombia or playing against Brazil, those games.
You're right. That's a great point, Steve.
Yeah. He's played in those. Like, Messi, this isn't new for him. He does come here for qualifiers his whole career. And I mean, I can't imagine playing a game away to Venezuela, the crowd's on you and they have to win and you're getting kicked. He's been there. So I think he's going to rise to the challenge. The goal he scored, you mentioned, against Australia, those kinds of moments he can do any like that. He needs no one to do that. When he's around the box, it's going to go in the back of the net. He'll cut inside. He'll fight. He's going to score. So we're going to see free kicks. We're going to see it's just a special signing. You know, I would, you know, calling it a retirement league when you've just seen this guy go toe-to-toe with Mbappe in the World Cup final, come out on top. I don't understand that logic. But for the league, in terms of rules and roster building, is it time to either significantly, I don't think remove the salary cap. I don't think Don Garber will ever do that. So I don't think that's even something to wish for. I think he's done it the right way for the most part. But is it time, because they're talking about, you know, Messi, can we get in Busquets and Jordi Alba and Suarez? Those guys aren't coming for a TAM deal. They still want to come on. I mean, they're going to get offers from Saudi Arabia as well. So what can the league do in terms of ensuring that the next time, you know, in 8-9 years when Mbappe wants to come here or something, that it's built to where you can have two or three of those kinds of guys on your team?
I mean, I don't know, dude. I mean, we can open up, I mean, just about expanding the salary cap. You can still keep a salary cap. You just have to continue to raise it. And I mean, Christian's told me off mic that in 5 years, he has seen the level of play in practice and in games increase so dramatically that I wouldn't even believe it. And when we're watching from the outside, you just don't notice it. Until your feet are on the ground and in practice and doing it every day, you notice it. And for him to say something like that, I think is pretty impactful. And those words need to be echoed that, okay, it's time to make an even bigger investment to go get the, you know, have 6 or 7 TAM guys on a team, have 3 or 4 DPs, have, you know, we're at that point. And then you just keep investing in your academies and giving these guys a shot. And we become the league that now is the France of the world, is the, you know, Dutch league of the world that's creating players, because the quality's there, but we're still going to require, you know, certain teams to carry maybe a certain number of homegrowns at all times, right? So there's opportunity there. I think if you would have told us we were going to be here 10 years ago, we would have laughed in your face. So we're making strides. It's just, it's happened now in the snap of a finger that we're not able to really comprehend what's going on. And of course we're asking, okay, what happens next? What happens next? Like, we need to sink in and enjoy this time of, you know, having Messi on the field wearing, you know, a Miami jersey. They need a good coach though.
Yeah, they spoke about Tata Martino, who
I mean, it'll be perfect.
He knows perfect. MLS. He coached Messi at Barcelona.
Right.
Yeah, he knows, and he's a very good coach. I mean, I know, so that will be, I think you do need something like that. Messi cannot come in and play for someone who cannot handle a player like Messi. I think the guy knows him, knows how to build a team around him. He did it for Almirón and Martinez and those guys. So I think he can build a really good team. They've got Chris Henderson there, who's very good at building rosters as well. So I think they're going to be fine ultimately. And obviously, having an owner, Beckham, who understands it, I think that's huge. Beckham played it.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
I think when I got brought to the Sounders, Henderson was here. They knew Ziggy was coming.
Yeah.
It was always, they always knew that they were going to pick me. And they said, oh, we didn't. Yeah. Okay. Do you think Beckham has been having conversations with Messi for the last 5 years?
Yeah.
That, okay, here's a handshake deal. You're coming. And we're going to be shit. But once you agree to come on board, we're going to flip this thing on its head.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think he's known. At least 2 years, I think he's known. Because there's even times when we'll see, like, you know, Beckham goes to visit. I don't think people understand the respect that David Beckham has in world football. In Qatar, like, I mean, it was insane going back to Qatar. Like, you can be at a game and, like, Brazilian Ronaldo will be sitting there. Rivaldo, you look around, Seedorf is there. Arsene Wenger, I'm in the toilet. In the urinal next to Roy Keane, and then Eto's, like, it was insane. But Beckham couldn't go anywhere. It was Beckham and it was Ronaldinho. Like, they were high and above. Like, Beckham was still the guy that everyone was doing double takes at. And I think players still feel that. You see him go to, like, PSG training and guys are stopping and asking for pictures. He's a
legend.
Even Messi's head will be moved, like, to, like, you know, this is the, and Beckham, the fact he walked that path being a star. He can come. That's the only team that could have got Messi at this point. And look, I did it. We're here. We're going to build this the right way. I think he's known. I think Messi's head was probably turned. If Barca could have figured it out, you can tell he wanted to go home. But once that was done, I think he had no interest. I think that, knowing from what we do see off him on social media and stuff, family guy, super quiet, probably would not want to live in Saudi Arabia with his kids. Probably, like, you know what, Miami, that Neymar's his teammate. Neymar's in Miami every week. He probably told him, look, go there. Like, go to Miami. So I'm sure everyone in his ear was telling him, go there, be a lot of Spanish speakers, those kinds of things.
What is eight-hour flight from Argentina?
It just makes sense. Higuain's been there before, don't forget. That's a good friend of his. So he's got people that probably told him, yeah, you need to go there. So
Keely.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it was done.
Yeah. Keely, what do you think? Outsiders, kind of not on the field brain, but you've seen other sports. You've seen big stars move around in football and baseball.
I look at it from the business perspective. So when Steve talks about salary cap, I think that MLS has sort of this weird limbo that they live in, because every major U.S. sports league has a salary cap other than Major League Baseball, but they have the luxury tax, which is a whole other thing, versus soccer leagues in Europe and around the world. It's much more normal to not have a salary cap, or they just operate in a very different way. So going back to the first question, we should not get rid of the salary cap, probably, if we want to continue to build a league the same way that, like, very successful the top big four leagues in the US have done. So that's the first thing. The second thing, talking about Beckham, and I think one of the conversations that he probably had with Messi, if Messi is smart, is David Beckham's brand extends way past soccer. He had a brilliant career, an amazing career, but past soccer, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he was number two celebrity at the World Cup, because
His brand
completely transcends soccer. And you look at all of these athletes now, they're sort of choosing the places where they go in order to build their brand past the sport that they play in. Tom Brady did that when he went to Tampa Bay. So now he has all of these wellness places in Florida, around the state of Florida. So I think that Messi's been very smart. I think if you look at his deal, obviously we don't have, like, all the specifics, but he's going to get equity in Apple. He's going to get equity in the league. He's going to get a ton of other things outside of just his salary, because obviously MLS and the salary cap
Which
we're not
going to
pay him the amount that he deserves. And like Steve said, he deserves all of those things and more. So I think it's going to be really exciting to see how this grows the league from a business perspective, which might not be as flashy as, I mean, obviously I'm so excited to see him on the field, and I'm just a nerd when it comes to that stuff. So I'm very curious to see A, what he does for MLS, and B, what MLS and coming to Miami and building his brand with David Beckham does for Messi too.
Yeah. And I think the one thing now where the Apple deal does look smart is if it was under the old deal, they'd have to put Inter Miami on every national TV game. You just have to do it. But now that it's a global deal for Apple, you can watch this game in Saudi Arabia, watch the game in Argentina, watch the game in England, watch the game in France, just with an Apple account. They're going to get eyes. Or people support
Apple TV
messages.
Is going to be so stoked right now. Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Last question here for the group. Do we see him at the All-Star game? Is that where you break Messi in? That's what happened with Beckham. He had a bit of an injury, I think it was, but I think Galaxy were playing Chelsea in some big friendly, and he wrote about this in his book and said, look, there's no way I should have played. I was up at 4 a.m. taking injections and pills, but there was all this pressure to like play for ESPN, and he came on and played like 20 minutes. And I think the video of that said on YouTube, he's clearly not fit. I don't think Messi risks it, but maybe not play, but would he be there, you know, making an appearance, a skills challenge, meeting fans? That this, you can't miss it. If you're MLS, you cannot miss that chance to have Messi in front of your biggest audience of the season. Sure.
I hope he's there. I don't see why not. They don't even need him to play a game.
No,
at this
don't
point.
Play. Don't play.
They're going to sell more Messi jerseys than anyone else combined ever. He probably won't even see the field.
Really exciting stuff. Leo Messi coming to MLS. Biggest star alongside Cristiano, I think, athlete on the planet. Those two are miles and miles ahead of everybody else. But he's done it just with football. I mean, it really is just, he just plays. He just goes out there and just plays. Doesn't talk too much, doesn't do too much. What a get for MLS. It's going to be huge. Will we see him in Seattle? Will we get on the schedule for Miami next year? I don't know. Hopefully. I think a lot of us will make it a point to watch his games now and just to see how he's coming in. Into our league. But Sounders away to LAFC, that's what's up next. The weekend is off. I'm actually seeing a few of the guys tomorrow. I don't know, they should have invited Babs or someone to document. It might be pretty cool. So we'll be out on the water in Seattle. We'll see a few of the guys, hopefully take a few pictures. They're enjoying their weekend off, so we're gonna treat them to a nice little event. A few of the guys on the team. It'll be fun. And then I'm looking forward to it. So I've not hung out with some of these guys before. And then they'll be on their way to LA next Wednesday to play against some LAFC. That'll be the next. And we'll be back shortly after that to do our podcast again. As always, anywhere you get your podcasts, like, comment, subscribe. We appreciate that. And we'll be back next week after Sounders play LAFC.